for the Associated Press. In fact, she was sitting courtside at the SEC men's basketball tournament last weekend. I was sitting in row two and then eventually row three. I'll tell you what, you do get a different perspective of teams. And we talked about that on Monday. And Teresa now joins us. Teresa, how you doing?
I am good, Darren. And I will say this, after sitting in the crow's nest at Memorial this season, getting to be courtside, it's a big reminder of how different the game looks when you're that close.
I have not been to Memorial this season. Are they still sticking people back up in the rafters again?
Oh yes, COVID. When that came along, and even though things have changed and we have some in-person access, we're still up there.
Oh boy!
And it's a nice climb up, nice climb down afterwards, and just really makes me appreciate the SEC tournament and the NCAA tournament. I'll be in Knoxville starting tomorrow for the first and second round games at Tennessee. And
nice.
I'll have a really nice seat and I'll enjoy it.
Nice. Yeah, I told Justin and our listeners, Alabama was like skyscrapers, right? Tall and lean. Texas A&M reminded me of like the movie Anchorman. Like you didn't want to see that group coming down the alley. I don't even care what they were carrying. Pitchforks. You know, I don't care. Cat of nine tails. They were big, and they were big. You know, these guys were imposing. Scary. Scary big is how I put it. A&M, just bigger bodies. But I thought they got shafted. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. By the way, Missouri has punched their ticket into the second round. I like this Missouri team. If they can, you know, if they can shoot and they're not off, because they know they're not great on defense, they can make some noise in this tournament.
They can. And, the reason I think that A&M got kind of underseeded is, they're not, let's face it, they kind of dodged some of the toughest parts of the SEC schedule. Look at Vanderbilt. They had to play Tennessee not once but twice, Kentucky not once but twice, Alabama not once but twice. And those were all top programs, ranked teams in this league. And, look at Missouri. You talk about a team that's impressive up close. Watching first-year coach Dennis Gates take a team that, struggled under Conzo Martin, watching how they play defense and are led by Kobe Brown, not surprised that they got their first NCAA tournament win today for the first time since 2010, a.k.a. their first as an SEC program because they joined the SEC in 2012.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that. I threw that stat out there. The end of the first hour. That's right. That is their first tournament win in this conference. Wow.
Mm.
I did not put that together. Good catch by you. Okay, before we get into Titans stuff, just your thoughts, because you travel to Memphis and you cover the Grizzlies as well. How do you think this is all going to play out? What are your thoughts on John Morant? They look like a hot mess right now, but they can get everybody back and get in the right frame of mind. We know they're talented enough to make a deep run. Heck, they could get all the way to the NBA Finals, but who knows if that's going to happen. What are your thoughts, the current state of the Grizzlies here in the third week of March?
Well, it's not good. I mean, John Morant, thanks to the now official 8-game suspension, he's eligible to return on Monday night, but Taylor Jenkins has already said that he won't play on Monday night because they need to, after 2 weeks off, they need to see what physical condition he's in. They're without Steven Adams through the rest of this season. He's got a knee injury. Brandon Clark, hours before the infamous Instagram live stream with Ja holding up that gun, they lost Brandon Clark, who's a very key reserve for them, with an Achilles tendon. So, they need Ja back. And right now they're sitting in the third spot, right behind Sacramento, even though they're tied record wise. So, they need to get back on the groove here. And on Saturday night, I've got a story that will be moving early in the morning, kind of previewing the final game between the Warriors and the Grizzlies. That could end up being that'll be played Saturday night. That could end up being key tiebreaker because so far each team has held serve through the first three games on their home court. But they need Ja back. They need Ja. He's the ninth leading scorer in the NBA. I mean, he does amazing things out there. And, you know, so maybe these 2 weeks out has helped the Grizzlies. You know, they've actually done fairly decent. They're 6-4 over their last 10, coming off a loss last night in Miami. And, you know, they've struggled on the road. You know, they finish up tomorrow night, this current road trip in San Antonio. That should be a win for them. And, Golden State will be playing also. So this will be, Saturday night will be the second back-to-back of, you know, for both teams, although Memphis gets to come home. And, you know, if Memphis can hold serve, and they routed the Warriors a week ago in Memphis without Ja, without Adams, without Clark, you know, the Warriors got all sorts of issues going on. I mean, you know, Steph puts up 50 and they still lose last night. But
they can't win,
you know,
on the road either.
Exactly. Right now, if the playoffs started today, the first round would be Memphis hosting Golden State in 3-6. So,
are they going to have Adams for the playoffs, or is he done?
It's a great question, Darren. I mean, all they've said is that he'll be reevaluated in 4 weeks. Well, 4 weeks is the end of the season, essentially. So that was the last word. You know, he got some stem cells, you know, injected into his knee that he injured chasing a loose ball late in the game. And, you know, so they need him back for sure, particularly with Clark out. I mean, Achilles, you know, Brandon Clark won't be back until late this fall and, you know, probably closer to December, coming off of an Achilles at the soonest. So they need Steven Adams back. They're a different team. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr. has kind of been blossoming. I mean, he's a guy who's put together since he missed the start of the season with his own injury. He's put together a defensive player of the year candidacy. And, you know, he's kind of blossomed without Adams, but, you know, they need Steven Adams without a doubt. So they're a much different team with him on the court with what he does, you know, rebounding the ball. So, you know, they've got some games down the stretch here, but it won't be easy for them. I mean, you know, if they can slide back up into the 2 seed, think about this. Then maybe they let Golden State, Phoenix, maybe Dallas and the Nuggets all battle things out in the first 2 rounds, give them an easier chance to get back to the Western Finals for just the second time and first since 2013. But they got to clean some things up, and they've got to get their minds right. And Ja coming back next week, they've got a homestand, a 4-game homestand that continues. You would think he might have a chance to play next Wednesday night. They need him, and they need him to have his mind right on the court and off to help lead this team. That's why they gave him a max contract last July.
No one is going to be picking the Titans this year to do anything. And I know there's still a draft and more free agency and all that good stuff, but nobody's going to be picking them in the AFC. They're going to be.
They never do.
No, and it's true. They don't. But this one especially. But what does that mean? Like right now, when you look at things today, where do you think this thing is going? Are they in for another tough year? Do you think they can bounce back? Like what are your early thoughts? I get it. It's March. What are your early thoughts on the Titans' current state of affairs?
Well, as of now, Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback on this team. Derrick Henry is the running back on this team. They've taken steps to fix what was a weak spot for this team, which is the offensive line. Still, you know, signing back Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, you know, for a 1-year deal, he should be your fifth receiver on this roster. No offense, Nick, but that's the facts. He's an undrafted receiver out of Indiana. And apparently he poked his head out in free agency, and the best offer out there was from Tennessee. So he comes back home. You know, there's a lot of players who should, with some of the coaching changes, take big steps this offseason. Nicholas Petit-Frere being one of those. You know, Daniel Brunskill, the lineman that they've signed from the 49ers. You know, the Titans haven't confirmed those moves yet. The linebacker core has been revamped. And for all the people who loved and are missing David Long, I'm sorry. It feels like the linebacker that, you know, Rand is bringing with him from the 49ers. You know, the last time the Titans signed somebody who was behind, you know, Pro Bowler in San Francisco was Delanie Walker, and he absolutely blossomed in Tennessee. So, you know, that was an area that had to be fixed. Want to see what else they do to improve the skill position and the offensive line, but, you know, anything has to be better than what they had last year. I mean, you can't lead the league in most players used due to injuries in back-to-back seasons and, you know, they should be better this year, if only because they're making changes and getting healthier players, you hope, onto the roster.
Teresa, I have now been of the firm belief that the Tennessee Titans have to draft a wide receiver in the first round. I understand they need offensive linemen. I get it. But the wide receiver market is so thin, and they are in big need. Tell me why I'm wrong, Teresa. Why should they pick an offensive lineman instead of a wide receiver in a few weeks?
Well, I'll say this, because you need to protect Ryan Tannehill, or, you know, and or whoever you decide ends up being your quarterback this year. And, you know, right now, again, Ryan is still on the roster, so it sure looks like it's going to be him. You've got to protect him. You know, that's what hurt you down the stretch last year, is you weren't able to protect him, and he got hurt not once but twice, and the second time ended his season and essentially ended the Titans season. So I can really make an argument that number 11 pick overall should be on a guy who can come in and start immediately as your left tackle. That's where they filled their left tackle spot, whether it was drafting Brad Hopkins, Michael Roos, Taylor Lewan. You know, so I can easily make that argument. But I also could make the argument, maybe you slide down, try to add another piece. I like the idea. I mean, again, you look at this receiving core, not a lot of snaps, not a lot of talent, unless they're looking and hoping to get somebody who, you know, once the market cools down for the available receivers in this free agent group. To me, offensive line and skill position are the top needs still for this team. And I wouldn't have a problem if they decided, you know what, we want speed, we want Jalin Hyatt. You know, he didn't run the 40 at the pro, you know, at the combine. Let's see what he does on, I think it's March 30th that the Vols have their pro day. Let's see what kind of 40 time he throws out there. But, you know, getting a receiver is at the top of their, you know, draft shopping list as well, no matter what they do in free agency.
Teresa, there's going to be another quarterback on this team somewhere, you would think. Where are they? How high on the priority list is that for them? I'm assuming they are keeping Ryan Tannehill. However, I know they're also thinking about beyond this year. So how high on the priority list is finding that next guy?
Well, that's the thing. They drafted Malik Willis last year, so it'd be tough to invest a high draft pick in a quarterback
Teresa, no. The guy who did that is no longer here. And so
exactly.
Okay.
Which means that Malik Willis is going to have to really prove himself to stay on this roster when final cuts are made. I mean, he's on a rookie deal, so you can easily give him a whole offseason to see how much this young man can improve. Could he be that guy moving in the future? I'd like to see Josh Dobbs be on this roster this offseason to provide competition, because, honestly, I can see him being – I mean, we saw in the very, very short time that he was here that he was already an upgrade as your number two quarterback. So let them compete and see who ends up being the number two. And if Malik Willis can't beat out Josh Dobbs, then, you know, then move on from him. And that means that you're going to be in the quarterback market potentially next year. So, you know, but that's the fun thing is, you know, Ryan Tannehill is your starting quarterback right now. And as we saw even in draft night in April, things can change in a heartbeat in the NFL. So, you know, Rand Carthon, first time as a GM, not tipping his hand. You know, he's kind of playing the David Poyle game. You know, he's not telegraphing anything. He's keeping his cards close to the vest. And, you know, let's face it, you need to, because, I mean, you know, I think you're hoping and praying that the Colts, all this linking to Will Levis, that's actually real, that they've fallen in love with this young man, or Anthony Richardson. Sorry, not impressed with either of them. I don't care how impressive Anthony Richardson was at the combine. And I saw enough of Will Levis in college that all I get are, and I tweeted it out a week or two ago, I get flashbacks to Jake Locker when I see Will Levis. Mm. You know, some habits you cannot break when you get to the pros.
Mm. Did you ever buy into this, I'm calling it a rumor, even though I know a reputable reporter got a hold of it, though. Did you ever buy into it that Derrick Henry was going anywhere?
No, because, you'd have to be – this guy was the second leading rusher in the NFL last year behind that line, mm-hmm. Okay? That line. Now, you can look the year before, and they got the number one seed in the AFC without him for nine games, So you could say, well, maybe we could replace him. You know, they did draft the kid from Michigan. Maybe you go add another one. But then you look at the franchise tag that was put on Tony Pollard at $10.1 million. Derrick Henry is relatively inexpensive and productive, and you know, and he's coming off his career best year as a receiver. So, you know, going into the final year of his contract, you know, somebody would have to blow me away. And the thing is, you're not, I'm sorry, fantasy football player, you know, owners, you're not going to get somebody that gives you a 2 or a 1 or a 3 or probably even a 4 for Derrick Henry. So why give him up for that? You can't replace him for that.
Yeah, I didn't think they were going to move. After what happened with A.J. Brown last year, I didn't think there was a chance they were going to move him just from the PR standpoint, that they could stand to move the face of the franchise after making a move like that less than a year ago. What about Jeffrey Simmons? Do you know, there's some gamesmanship going on right now where he's deleted Twitter accounts and the Instagram and all of that. You know, getting him under contract for a long term has got to be a high priority for this team. Do you expect him to get it done?
Yes. Now, I'll say this. The timing always matters. And, yes, it's the last GM, but, you know, the Titans had a nice little track record of, you know, there's a certain calendar in the NFL. Right now it's free agency, okay? Then they'll turn their attention to the draft. And then it's, you know, then you start trying to get your draft pick signed. You're adding some some more veteran free agents. DeMarcus Walker, who I saw Titan fans were all upset to lose him to Chicago. He wasn't added until May of last year. Okay. So, you know, that deal, you know, doesn't have to be done until a certain, you know, before training camp. You know, if Jeffrey Simmons, he wasn't on the field for the mandatory mini camp that wrapped the offseason program last year. And yet the man had his ankle shot up so that he could finish essentially half the season on a bum ankle. So he's shown his commitment to this franchise. As long as they get a deal done before training camp, that's the deadline that matters the most. But yes, after losing an AJ Brown last year, you don't let a guy get away who, you know, had the, you know, per TV in that last game of the regular season, at that point had faced the second most double teams in the NFL and still did what he did last year on the field, again, on an ankle that was, you know, getting shot up before every game for about half of the season. So, I Rand has kind of seems to have made it kind of clear that, you know, that he sees him as a priority, but that doesn't mean that the deal has to be done before March 31st, April 30th, or even Memorial Day.
Last but not least for me, Teresa, is the connections back to the 49ers. So far, we've seen 3 players signed who had connections to the 49ers at one point. Do you expect to see more of this? Is this just a start?
Oh, probably. I mean, for the longest time, under John Robinson, it felt like there was a New England to Titans pipeline. We've seen the Titans to Atlanta pipeline with Arthur Smith. You know, when you've seen guys, you've evaluated them, you've seen them in games, you've watched a lot of tape, it's easier to lean on guys intimately from a front office standpoint. So, yeah, I would expect to see a few more come this direction just because that's the way of the NFL. You can, if you're choosing between 2 guys and you've seen one an awful lot more, you know, in the last gig that you had, you're usually going to get that guy because you've seen him in the heat of battle.
Teresa, appreciate the visit. Enjoy the tournament, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Teresa Walker, Associated Press. She does it all.
She does.